Hey everybody, if you want to tell the world something or sell the world something, head on over to Squarespace because they're going to help you build the website of your dreams. Say you want to sell some custom merch. Well, you can set up your online store. Whether you sell physical, digital, or service products, Squarespace has the tools you need to start selling online. So go to squarespace.com/stuff right now and you will face a free trial. And when you get ready to launch, use our offer code STUFF and then you'll save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. How could you go wrong with Squarespace?
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. There's Charles W. Chuck Bryant. There's Jerry. So, Stuff You Should Know. This is it.
Boy, that sounded like you're introducing the final episode.
My voice.
This is it.
Feels like it's the final episode.
You won't be able to talk anymore?
No, I'm getting there.
That's not true.
You don't know that.
How's it going?
It's going pretty well, man. How about with you?
I think both of us had a bit of a dark time researching this article.
Why?
Well, because, and we're going to get, we're going to get flack. That's a teaser. From publicists, because what I learned is that publicists are professional liars.
I would say that depends on the circumstance.
Well, what do you mean?
Well,
you're saying there are publicists who don't lie?
No, I'm saying it depends on whether the publicist is going to the media or the media is coming to the publicist, depending on the circumstance.
What I am saying is no matter what, who you work for, if you are a publicist, then a percentage of your job will be lying.
Right, okay. Depending on the circumstance.
Yeah.
So Billy Ray Cyrus.
You wouldn't lie about something good.
Billy Ray Cyrus is like, I am going to donate a bunch of time and money to a local homeless shelter.
Yeah, you don't have to lie about that.
The publicist gets on the horn, starts letting everybody know, you guys should come cover this. Billy Ray Cyrus goes and does that, and everything's good. Then, on the way home, Billy Ray Cyrus decides to celebrate by drinking a bucket of tequila and runs his car into a whatever.
Okay.
The publicist then starts getting calls and says...
He didn't drink a bucket of tequila.
That wasn't even him.
That's overstated. What really happened with this?
So the circumstances depend on the whether the publicist is fibbing or not.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying that all publicists do is lie, but I'm saying if you work as a publicist, part of your job is to cover tracks and to lie.
Gotcha.
And you know, that don't hate the publicist, hate the system is what I say.
Yeah, they're definitely a part of a larger system.
Yeah, a larger system, which includes all of us who digest news.
Yeah, especially say like entertainment news.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. From my understanding, there's two routes a person can take as a celebrity. You can either just go off and be a normal person.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on your level, you might have paparazzi following you or that kind of stuff.
There's, sure.
Once you get to a certain level, it doesn't matter what your decision is. Or you can hire a publicist and feed yourself right into that machine to get as much publicity and as much press as you possibly can.
Yeah, well, I think any celebrity is going to have a publicist, but it's really a matter of your directive and your goal.
Right.
I think some of those people like to be like that, the old adage, there's no such thing as bad publicity.
Yeah, I ran into that's more of a PR term where, like, so if you're into PR, you're probably representing a company or an organization or something like that.
Yeah.
A publicist is somebody who typically represents a single person, an artist, an author, a musician, something like that. That's really the only definition I can find for a publicist. And the job, the goal of the publicist is to help maintain and promote the public image of that person that they represent.
That's right.
By having a good relationship with the media.
Yes. That's where it starts.
That's the publicist.
And by the way, that no such thing as bad publicity, I tried to find the origin of that. And the closest thing I could find was P.T. Barnum. But I don't know if that's true. I don't think that's verified.
Well, then say Mark Twain.
Yeah, P.T. Barnum or Mark Twain.
Everybody says, oh, it was a Mark Twain thing.
And I don't think that's even true anyway. I think maybe that used to be true.
What, that it was a Mark Twain thing?
No, that no such thing as bad publicity. I think at one point that may have been sort of true.
Yeah.
But these days, there's clearly bad publicity.
Sure.
So you said the word flack earlier as a teaser. Apparently, to flack or a flack is a term originating from Gene Flack, early movie publicist.
Yeah.
In Hollywood.
And that's with a CK.
That's right.
F-L-A-K, to take flack, is named after a type of German gun in World War II, a German anti-aircraft gun.
Two different things. But in this case, it is a pejorative term for publicist. They don't like it.
A PR flack.
Yeah, you shouldn't say that to someone that works in PR.
No.
Or call them a liar. They don't like that either.
Yeah.
Yeah, I looked it up. Apparently, it means that, like, you can't be trusted. You'll do anything for money. That's what a flack is to them. That's like one article I read said that's like calling a personal injury attorney an ambulance chaser.
Yeah.
It's just not a nice term.
Gotcha.
So there you have it. So a publicist, like you said, works for their client to make them, to get their good deeds out and to, if they don't have good deeds, to spin things to make it look like they do.
Right.
You know?
Here, hold this baby lamb.
Yeah.
Or we take your picture.
Exactly. And then they get photographed later eating gyros down the block.
The two events were totally not connected.
No. So what they do is they pitch ideas to the media, and they probably have to be good writers themselves, because a press release oftentimes is a starting point. But press releases, as we know, can get lost in the shuffle and never see the light of day.
Yeah. Seems like a huge waste of time.
It can be. But if you have a good publicist, they will be well connected to the media,
right,
to ensure that that publicity blast is not lost.
Right, exactly. So there's direction one, which is from the publicist to the media. And the publicist is going to have all these contacts with different entertainment reporters and business reporters,
yeah,
and anybody that could possibly run a story. Yeah, anybody that could possibly run a story on their client, right?
That's right.
And they'll say, Billy Ray is going to donate some money.
Why are we picking on him?
He just seems like the type who would donate a bunch of money to a homeless shelter.
Okay.
And go down there himself and help out.
Great.
So Billy Ray's going to be down there. Plus, it rolls off the tongue, Billy Ray.
Sure.
So why don't you send one of your cub reporters down, and let's get some coverage for this.
Right.
And since they're friends, since these people have worked together for decades now, this mm-hmm. reporter and this your publicist, the reporter actually might respond.
Yeah.
And show up, or the editor, or the news producer, whoever the contact is. That's great. Like, that's, you hired a good publicist, and now this story is going to make it out there.
That's right.
Because they didn't just write up a press release with a bunch of exclamation points in the headline and fax it to every media outlet they could find.
That's a
and
bad
get zero
publicist.
Response.
Yes, a publicist is only as good as their relationships, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The other way on that street that you were talking about is from the journalist back to the publicist. If they hear, yeah, I heard Billy Ray Cyrus drank a bucket of tequila and ran over a prostitute with his car. They will then get in touch with the publicist, and then they go, Jack, buddy, hey, we go back a long way.
Would I lie to you?
Would I lie to you? So that's how that goes. And they will be more forthcoming with people who have, it's a scratch your back, you scratch mine type of scenario.
Yeah, like that reporter that actually showed up at the homeless shelter and covered it and made a nice piece and everything.
I'll give you the scoop.
When that guy calls, he's going to get the better treatment from the publicist than somebody who ignored the
the pitch before.
That's right.
It's a lot of back scratching.
A lot of back scratching.
Feeding the machine.
I've seen a lot more women as publicists than men, and I've always wondered why that is true.
I don't know that that is true. In researching this, I saw about an equal amount. I used to think that as well, but it seems like there's an equal amount these days.
It seems like every publicist I've ever known has been a woman, and I just figured it's because women may be more level-headed and more able to like smooth out a situation than some big dumb guy.
Yeah.
But I guess the guys who are publicists aren't big dumb guys like me. I'd be a bad publicist.
Oh, yeah? So what would your response be if somebody called to find out what stupid thing your client did or why they did some stupid thing?
I'd say, you know what? It's really none of your business.
Stop bothering me.
Bad publicist.
Yeah, well, that was something I ran across is, you know, saying something like, my client needs their privacy respected right now.
Sure.
Would just immediately shut down a relationship that you've cultivated over the years.
Yeah.
That you have to give as a publicist. You are like, there has to be something that you give. So you better have something that will placate the reporter, but will also is probably not the truth because that reporter will go off and write the truth about your client and your client will have just gotten horrible publicity because of you. So it's a balancing act.
Yeah. Or they'll just say, let me send you over a gift bag from Fred Siegel. You like the last one, right? but publicists may also, and it depends, people that have a staff of people working for them, sometimes the lines are blurred on who does what, but a publicist can arrange interview requests and set all that stuff up. If you have like a book tour or you're a politician or you're a band with a new album coming out, they might arrange all those interviews, in which case they are prepping two things. They are prepping the interviewer saying, you can't ask about the bucket of tequila.
Right.
If you want this interview, I'll give it to you, but this is off limits, all these things. And then, as we've learned, when we've had people work with us in publicity, they'll be prepping you on as the interviewee. Like, if they ask this, this is how you should probably deal with it.
Don't answer that.
Yeah,
don't answer. Bridge back to what you were saying before.
And my favorite thing ever are videos where celebrities walk out of interviews because the interviewer has asked something they weren't supposed to ask.
Yeah.
Those are great.
Yeah.
Not to sit around and watch those all day.
Yeah, you could probably find a pretty good supercut of them.
Yeah, probably so. All right, well, let's take a break, and when we come back, we will talk a little bit about the skills you need as a publicist.
Hey, everybody, it's time you heard about Squarespace. Squarespace has the tools you need to create and sell your own website. Whether it's an online course or custom merch, Squarespace has you covered.
That's right. Courses is a great program. You can start with a professional layout that fits your brand, upload video lessons to teach techniques and skills, and tailor your course with a powerful Fluid Engine editor.
That's right. With Fluid Engine, which is a next-generation website design system, by the way, it's never been easier for anyone to unlock unbreakable creativity.
That's right. And don't forget the commerce side, because after that, you can charge a one-time fee or you can even sell a subscription.
Yeah. So turn your creativity into income with Squarespace courses. And right now, go to squarespace.com/stuff for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code STUFF to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace. Hey, everybody, we're here to tell you about Viator, a tool that you can use to plan and book travel experiences around the world.
That's right. The Viator app and website make it easy to explore 300,000 plus travel experiences so you can discover what's out there no matter where you're traveling or what you're interested in.
Yep, Viator can help you plan better travel experiences. 300,000 plus travel experiences to choose from means you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy.
That's right. You can also enjoy real traveler reviews to get insider information from people who've already been on the experience that you're considering. Plus, you get free cancellation that helps you plan for the unexpected.
Yeah, and Viator offers 24/7 customer service, so you know you'll get support at any hour if things aren't going as planned. So download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find the perfect travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Stuff you should know. All right. We've mentioned lying. And, you know, I joke, but for real, if you want to be a publicist, you better have a certain comfort level with stretching the truth and lying.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have to do that. If you're not comfortable with that, you shouldn't go into that line of work.
Yeah.
Is that safe to say?
I think very.
You need to be good with people and cultivate those relationships. You need to be a good writer.
Well, not only do you have to be a good writer, you have to be a good journalist. And a lot of publicists have a background in journalism because I kept running into this in this article and another article you sent. The number one rule of being a publicist is to think like a journalist.
That's
even
right.
Better than that is to not only think like a journalist, but be able to write like a journalist too. Because as we kind of demonstrated, the publicist media relationship is a two-way street. The publicist needs the media to publicize in a flattering manner their client.
Sure.
But the media needs the publicist because they've got deadlines and they need to come up with story ideas. And if something is brought to them, that's great.
That's good.
But that media professional has a reputation to protect. It can't be like, you know, Billy Ray Cyrus got off of his couch and mailed a check for $500 to a local homeless shelter.
Yeah, boring.
Yeah, and it came in a press release and a fax machine.
Yeah.
That reporter is not going to have a very good reputation. But if a publicist comes to this reporter with a great headline, creative pitch, a good story that's tailored to that reporter and their beat, and even more than that, tailored to that reporter's audience.
Yes.
There's a good likelihood that a reporter will say, I'm listening.
Right.
And that's just music to a publicist's ears.
Sure. Just to be listened to.
Yeah. That's when you throw it into fifth gear.
You can't be afraid of rejection. You've got to be outgoing and you've got to take your licks because a lot of your attempts are going to fail just by nature of the job. So you can't get your feelings all hurt.
Yeah.
You guess you could, but you don't want to show that because then the journalist will be like, geez, Chuck's such a baby.
You are going to be eaten alive.
I didn't run the story and he's complaining.
Crying.
A little
even.
Wimp.
I saw him choking up in the bathroom.
While they may get a good laugh out of that, they probably won't want to work with you as much.
Right.
You got to be very patient and you have to be very flexible because if you're working for celebrities, it is a very tough job.
That's another thing too. So you are, your hours are basically all hours.
Whenever you're needed.
Right. So not only does your publicist frequently also have to do other stuff, or people associated with the publicist have to do things like pick up things for the client.
Yeah, like stuff
dry
an assistant
cleaning
would
or
do.
Stuff. Yeah.
Sure.
In addition to that, like the higher up you go on the food chain, which we'll talk about in a minute, the more that client feels A-okay with emailing you at 3 a.m. saying like, I need to be reassured about my celebrity status or whatever.
Yeah.
And the publicist needs to respond. You're basically on call all the time. Also at 3 a.m, your client may have done something really horrifically stupid.
Yes.
And some paparazzi caught it and now word's starting to spread and you're fielding calls from reporters at 3 a.m. to get a statement on what your client did.
Yeah, I mean, when Twitter came out, I remember thinking at the time, like, publicists aren't going to be around anymore because people are doing this themselves.
Well, they've actually figured out ways to use Twitter to their benefit.
Well, ways to use Twitter, but Twitter is also their biggest security blanket as well because of Twitter, more and more celebrities are saying really stupid things that the publicist is then going to have to cover their tracks.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So they'll take down the tweet and then try and spin that or just... you know, the apology is always very funny to me.
Like, the awkward.
Well, it's never like, did you hear about Chris Carter, the NFL guy? He's a former NFL player, wide receiver.
Sure. For the Vikings, right?
Yeah. He is in hot water this week because he was hired by the NFL to come in and speak to the rookies. They often do that for guys that had been in trouble to come in and say, don't do what I did.
He's scared straight.
Yeah, sort of. And he said in his talk to the rookie symposium, said something about, you know, if you get caught with, you know, da-da-da-da-da, he went, just make sure you have a fall guy on your team. Like the guy in the car that's like, it's my weed.
Wow.
Basically. And he got in big trouble for that. And his apology was like, that's not the kind of advice I would ever give young people. It's like, but that's the advice you exactly gave young people.
Yeah.
Like, how can you say that days later? It's just so obvious. It's a forced, insincere apology.
So he either had a bad publicist or he didn't listen to his publicist. Because part of the publicist's job is when you're going to make the statement, the public statement, the public apology or whatever.
Sure.
The reasoning behind it, the rationale, the wording of it, the logic behind the apology is probably going to be crafted by your publicist. At least they're going to help you with it.
Yeah.
At the very least, they're going to want to help you with it.
Right.
Because they're probably scared stupid that you're going to make it worse.
Right. And it sounds like there's a lot of crisis management, and that is a part of it, but publicists also are just trying to cook up opportunities.
I think that's way more the day-to-day.
Yeah, for sure. Depending on the client, of course.
Sure.
But I remember our former boss, Connell, was in a band years ago, and I read online somewhere that his band went to Elton John's. Do you remember this story?
No.
Went to Elton John's house and spelled out their band name and fire on his tennis court.
No, I hadn't heard
that. To try and get on his label or something.
That's a great way to do it.
I know. And I went and asked him. I was like, dude, I can't believe you guys did that. And he went, we didn't do that. I was like, no. And he was like, no. He's our publicist made that up. I was like, nothing true about it. And he's like, no. They completely fabricated that story as a publicity stunt that never happened.
Huh. Yeah, so why even go to the trouble of it when you can just release a story that says that you did that?
Yeah, isn't that amazing? When something like that could so easily be fact-checked, like by calling Elton John.
Well, that's the other thing.
He's like, I don't have it in
his call court. Elton John, you know?
Well, I don't know.
So I'm curious. I wonder how many media stories are just totally fabricated. Matter of fact, you out there in podcast land, let us know. If you know a media story that was just totally fabricated that everybody takes as fact,
right?
We want to hear it. I love stuff like that.
I do too. All right. We mentioned earlier that you might end up getting the laundry or dry cleaning as a publicist.
If you're the publicist's intern.
Yeah, that's probably what's going to happen is you might get asked to go get the laundry and then you will say, sure, I'll take care of that for you. And then you will go down the chain until you find the underling who is trying to be a publicist who still does things like that.
Right. This person may or may not be in college, but is probably college age. That's something that I ran across. If you want a career as a publicist, you do not need to spend a single penny on higher education.
No.
The entire career of publicist begins as a hands-on experience.
Yeah,
you need to be literate. You need to probably have a knack for writing in a journalistic way.
Sure.
And crafting good headlines and, by proxy, good email subject lines. But you don't, if you have that already before college, you don't need to go to college.
No, like, you can go and major in journalism or communications or PR, but it's not like you get that diploma, that PR diploma.
And you're going to get, like, some entry level job as a publicist. No, you're still going to have to work your way up.
See, it says right here, I have a PR degree, so where's my job?
Right.
My advice is to skip college and go straight into the workforce as early as you can if this is what you want to do.
You know, I feel and I hope that there is becoming a bigger understanding that there are certain fields out there, there are careers out there where you don't have to go to college.
No.
And there are careers out there where, like, you should go to a vocational school to learn that trade.
Yes.
That college is not necessarily this end-all, be-all that you have to spend money after money after money to get a degree that might even not be used in your field. But I mean,
I didn't need a degree to do what I'm doing. No one ever has to see it.
Right. And this is a perfect example of that, Chuck. Like, to be a publicist, you do not need a degree. You need hands-on experience. You need basically what amounts to an apprenticeship.
That's right.
Yeah.
Good way to say it. So go in and get that job in the mailroom or as an assistant or as an intern.
And it would be great if you still live at your parents' house at this point because you're going to get paid like next to nothing.
Yes.
And you're going to be doing all the grunt work.
Yes.
But if you go in there with your mindset to, I'm going to learn this, I want to learn this and move up, you're going to be in the right environment for that.
Absolutely. Like we said, you might be picking up dry cleaning. You're going to be returning a lot of phone calls, drafting a lot of probably not so fun press releases.
That has graduated from the intern.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about being like a junior assistant.
Right, after you get hired on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and press releases that aren't like the sexy ones, you know?
Right.
You're not going to be writing like the press releases for Billy Ray Cyrus, in other words.
No.
Those are sexy.
You'll be writing them for his dog.
Okay.
You know?
Sure. Freddie Cyrus?
Freddie Cyrus, yeah.
Okay. You are going to be handling your publicists that you work for, their schedule, their contacts. You're going to be putting together press kits and EPKs, electronic press kits, and blasting those out.
Yep.
Basically, all of the nuts and bolts of the job you're going to be doing as a junior staff publicist or an assistant.
Right.
Not a bad gig if that's what you want to do.
No.
And if you stick to it and you're good at it, you're going to end up being a publicist.
Right. Not only are you getting the experience you need on the job, you're also in a place where you're networking too. Because that is probably tied for first as far as like thinking like a journalist goes. You need to be a pretty good networker.
That's right. And you know what? Let's take a break and we will talk more about networking and some of the skills you still need.
Hey there, are you thirsty? Well, before you take a sip, have you stopped to think about what's in your water? Many conventional bottled waters contain PFAS, harmful substances known as forever chemicals. But you can drink water as clean as nature intended.
Richard's Rainwater collects 100% pure, refreshing drops of rain. Yes, it really is rain, everybody. This rain is caught clean before it hits the ground or becomes polluted with pesticides and contaminants commonly found in groundwater.
Yep, Richard's Rainwater is naturally pure with no need for harsh chemicals or additives. That means no added fluoride, no chlorine, no forever chemicals, no microplastics, no nothing.
And you can enjoy the clean taste of Richard's still rainwater and the long-lasting cold-pressured bubbles of Richard's sparkling rainwater. Just visit richardsrainwater.com to find a retailer near you. That's richardsrainwater.com. And we even have a special offer, don't we, Josh?
Yeah, text STUFF to 2512928887, and you'll get $2 off a 12-pack case of Richard's Rainwater. Sip the sky. All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on!
Chuck, can I make a confession?
Yes.
I'm possibly the worst networker on the planet.
You didn't have to tell me that.
I'm really bad at it.
Yeah, it's not your bag.
It isn't. Some people are good at networking.
I'm like, pretty good at it.
You're good at networking.
Yeah, because I enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I don't consider it... networking sounds like just doing something to serve you in the end. I don't look at it that way. I look at it as like, I enjoy making professional colleague, enjoy meeting and getting to know professional colleagues.
Yeah.
And then later on, if I can hit them up for something or if they hit me up, that's great. But if not, it's just, something I like.
Gotcha.
You know?
So the maybe proper response to somebody when they come and ask you for something, you're like, oh, I saw this coming.
Yeah.
That's not the way to respond?
Probably not.
I'm trying to put myself out there a little more.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Just I think that's a skill that everybody should have.
Yeah. All right.
Instead of being like a misanthropic recluse, you know?
Put yourself out there. I agree. Well, one of the skills that I don't think we pinpointed was networking without seeming like you're networking, which is sort of
the key.
What I was just talking about.
And I think maybe that is it, too. Like, I feel like networking is a task, whereas if I just relaxed and enjoyed it and, like, just, you know, communing with a fellow human being.
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't that what it's all about?
That's all it is. That's so scary.
If I just took it like that, then I'm sure it would be much more relaxing.
I read a blog, and I sent it to you.
Yeah.
And I want to shout them out because they, Sonic Bids, SONICBIDS.
Mm-hmm.
It's a blog where they did an interview that was pretty insightful, actually.
They did a double interview.
A dual interview with Julie Lichtenstein of 37 Media and Lily Golightly of Golightly Media. And I think they work with bands and musical artists mainly.
Yeah.
But it was super insightful. And they said just some little tidbits here. Like, I was always curious how they get paid. And I think if you're a publicist for a person and, like, you are on retainer, then you just get a salary. Or if you're part of a firm that just works for that person.
Right.
But you can also just be hired for a campaign.
Right. So if you're a band and you've gone to the trouble of, like, going in and hiring a producer to produce your album,
sure,
and, like, you've made a studio quality album that you're proud of, you might want to hit everybody up or gather around another $2,000 to hire a publicist for a month to release that album correctly.
Not a bad idea.
No. And, like, just hiring a publicist isn't going to automatically make it great.
No.
Like, you need to say, look, can we see some of the other campaigns you've run?
Sure.
What are your ideas for this campaign? Who have some of your clients been in the past? What's some of the press that you've gotten?
Yeah, like you want to see your successes.
Yeah, you don't want to just be like, throw a dart at a phone book.
Right.
Do your research, because it's $2,000 and you're an up-and-coming band, and that's not chump change. But if you look at it as a wise investment and you do invest it wisely in a good publicist, it could make a huge difference for you.
Agreed. Julie said that they tried and get out for major artists 3 or 4 months ahead of the release of the album is when they want to start their job.
Yeah.
So it's not like, hey, it drops next week, let's think of some good ideas.
Right.
You know, they want some good lead time. And they said that they like to work around goals. If it's like a tour, like for us going on our tour.
Right.
We don't have a publicist.
No.
But we have promoters working with venues.
Right.
That sort of do the job of a publicist as far as trying to sell tickets.
Right.
But if you are booking a tour and you have a publicist, they're going to be the ones that are getting you on the local radio stations, morning TV, getting you in the local newspaper, mm-hmm, or alternative newspaper to get you some press.
Yep. And this is, I mean, if you have, this is stuff you can do yourself, but one of the things that you are hiring when you hire a publicist is their contacts, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you don't have the contacts, you're just the band. One of the problems is you are, it's going to be tough for you to think objectively. Like, you're not going to understand why every journalist you talk to doesn't want to automatically do a long-form piece on how great your band is.
Right.
Publicist is going to be dispassionate enough,
yeah,
and removed enough that
that's
they can see it objectively through a journalist's eyes and then pitch it in a way that's probably going to get better, more bites.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, because the artist, we've even experienced this, is the ones who gets their feelings hurt. Saying like, oh man, they interviewed us last time, why didn't they do it this time? And they're always great about massaging the ego a little bit and saying like, it's okay guys, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
Cause, that doesn't do much for us anyway. Lie.
Right.
We got this other thing that's better. Lie.
Right.
The other thing they're gonna be doing if, they work for you is they're gonna be sending you, weekly or bi-weekly reports on what's lined up, who passed on stuff, who bit, stuff like that. Like, they're keeping you informed.
Yeah.
You're not just, like, in a black hole. And some artists like to be well in touch on that stuff, and some probably don't care about being bothered.
Right.
You know?
They just want to be on Conan.
Man. Conan shot in Atlanta 15 minutes from our house where we live.
Yeah.
And we couldn't get on Conan.
I know.
And it was while our TV show was debuting.
I know. You don't have to remind me. Let's talk Penny C. Sansevieri.
Yeah, from HuffPo. She is the author and CEO of Marketing Experts, Inc., and she listed out 9 things that a good publicist does.
What's number one, Chuck? Can you guess?
Think like a journalist.
That's right.
You already said that, and yeah. You were right.
It's the number one rule. Number two rule is know the rules.
Right. Got to play within the game. If you start, and you can bend rules, but if you start breaking them, people have a long memory.
Well, if you go on and read, just type the phrase rules of pitching and publicity into your favorite search engine, and it will bring up, apparently, one of the things journalists like to do in their downtime is write lengthy blog posts mocking PR and publicists who don't follow the rules of pitching. So, one of the rules is no phone calls. You just don't use the phone.
Oh, all email?
Yeah, especially if you're cold calling people.
Uh-huh.
Like, I guess if you have a relationship with somebody, you can pick up the phone and call them, but you don't send an email blast and then a day later follow up on the email by phone.
Apparently, did you get that email?
That's the worst thing you can do.
Yeah, you don't want to bug people.
No, and it's very easy to come off as like pestering a reporter as a publicist.
I bet.
So you need to know the rules, or your publicist needs to know the rules.
Here's a good one that I didn't think about, reading outside of your market.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it's pretty easy to just think New York and L.A., like what else do I need to know about?
Well, not even that. It's like if you're a band.
Outside of your industry?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and just start to think of like, oh, well, we actually sing this song about the oil industry, and oil prices are going through the roof. So maybe the Today Show would want to talk to us about our song.
Didn't think about that.
I'd be a great publicist.
Well, you'd be a great songwriter.
I'm terrible at networking.
Google Alerts, that's kind of a no-brainer, I would think. Understanding the importance of local media, that's a good one. Because while your artist is not going to be super stoked about appearing on Good Morning Toledo.
Hey.
If there's a tie, like you're from Toledo, like you,
yeah,
then that's probably a smart thing to do because the local media loves people that were from there that moved away.
Right.
Plus, or also, maybe they still live there.
Plus, Mrs. Sansevieri makes this point, or Ms. Sansevieri, sorry, makes this point that you never know where a local contact is going to end up.
Sure.
Might hit the big time.
They might work for USA Today in a couple of months.
Yeah. It doesn't get bigger than that. And if they hit the big time on their end and they have you as like a contact, it could help you out big time.
That's right. And then earlier you mentioned something about subject lines for emails. I never really thought about this, but Penny says, can I call her Penny?
You can.
Are we on a first name basis?
I call her Ms. Sansevieri.
Okay. Well, she says that crafting a subject line is one of the most important things that you can do as a publicist.
Yeah.
And that they agonize over this. And it makes total sense with the glut of emails that people receive, especially journalists.
Mm-hmm.
You want to grab their attention. Otherwise, it's just going to be bye-bye time.
Yeah.
So,
but you also
crafting,
have to know,
redrafting, editing, tweaking. She says it's just like maddening how much you have to do that.
Yeah, that would drive me crazy.
Yeah, because it's the minutia. So much importance on the minutia.
Yeah, but it's true, and you have to put a lot of thought into it. But you also probably can't come off as having put too much thought into it, or else it seems desperate, which will turn somebody off.
Man, journalists.
I'll bet publicists want to kill journalists and vice versa.
Yeah. It sounds like a weird relationship for sure.
Yeah.
You know?
And then also, did you look up media leads?
No.
So basically, there's services out there where journalists say, I need a quote on, I'm doing a piece on nuclear fusion, and I don't even know what that is. So I need a source. And then this service that the journalist calls puts out like a daily or, you know, maybe even more than once a day newsletter blast to PR people who pay for the service. And then they go through and say, oh, I've actually got a nuclear physicist on my payroll.
Yeah.
And I'm going to connect him.
We've been connected that way before.
How? Who?
When we had different PR firms working for with us at times. They've gotten in touch and said so-and-so at SpaceX wants to know if you want to come on and talk about this. Or when we did that stuff on ABC about when the housing crisis hit.
Yeah, because we're financial experts.
Yeah, so stuff like that.
Yeah, I gotcha.
It used to come across our desk every now and then.
Well, there's subscription services that connect people through leads. From what I'm seeing is Twitter is now filling that void a lot, where you can just search Twitter for the hashtag H-A-R-O, help a reporter out.
Yeah.
The reporters, and then also I guess there's a lot of PR tastemakers out there.
Sure.
That are just super connected and will basically tweet a lead, and you don't have to pay $1,000 a month for that subscription service. You just follow certain people on Twitter, and as a PR person, you might have somebody that's a client that you connect.
Yeah, that whole new job of being an aggregator, a curator.
Yeah, like that. Yeah.
Like people do that, and that's all they do.
But we also live in an age where people are famous for being famous.
I know.
Man.
I need to take back a little bit of my tirade about liars. I think that what I'm talking about are people, publicists for like big celebrities and stuff like that.
Okay.
Like we've had publicists work with us, and I bet 80% of the clients that they work with are like people like us, where you don't have to like lie and spin.
Yeah, we're always on our best behavior.
Yeah, it's just, you know, regular stuff. Like, let me find a good opportunity for you and connect you. And
yeah.
So I was overstating it. I think that's just the far edge of the celebrity end of things.
Gotcha.
Because I just got to thinking about, what if they're listening? I don't want them to think I didn't think they were doing a good job. You did a great job.
Way to back off of that one, Chuck.
I got one more little thing. On Jim Moran.
You just said Moran.
M-O-R-A-N.
I think Moran.
Well.
Not the way the French say moron.
He was known as the master of the publicity stunt back in the day. Like he did things, what his big thing was to take a saying and try and disprove it, like for a company. So he literally went to Alaska on behalf of GE to sell a refrigerator. To it says an Eskimo, but I guess an Inuit is what you would say today.
Yeah.
He walked a bull through a China shop in New York City.
How'd that go?
As a stunt. I think they broke some things.
I'll bet.
He got on a horse for a politician and changed directions midstream on the horse, like rode it through a river and changed directions.
Yeah.
Like, you can do this. And then in 1959, for the premiere of The Mouse That Roared, the great Peter Sellers movie. He opened an embassy. Remember the movie was about a small country that declared war on a big country?
Because they wanted to declare war on the U.S. and then surrender and then get financial aid from around the world.
That's
because their economy was in trouble.
But they ended up winning or something? I don't remember.
So.
Wasn't that it? He opened an embassy in Washington for a mythical country.
Yeah, nice. Speaking of, by the way, I finally saw Dr. Strangelove.
Oh, really?
Great movie.
One of the best.
It's up there for sure.
Oh, man. One of the best satires, let's say.
It is a great movie.
Great movie. And Peter Sellers, man, just...
He did great, but also, I mean, like, George C. Scott was amazing as well.
He was amazing, and the guy, I can't remember his name, that played the colonel or whatever.
The one who lost his marbles?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was good.
He was so good.
Everybody was Slim Chills or...
Slim Pickens.
Slim Chills. Yeah. No, there's Chill Wills was another, like...
What?
Country... Western actor. Chill Wills, I think, is his name.
Chill Wills?
You'd recognize him if you saw his face.
Okay.
Chill Wills.
All right.
Of course Chill Wills makes an appearance in the How Publicist Works episode. You got anything else?
No, I got nothing else.
Thank goodness. If you want to know more about publicists, you can type this word in the search bar at howstuffworks.com. And I said search bar, so it's time for listener mail.
I did have one more thing.
What was it?
That movie, America's Sweethearts. Did you ever see that with John Cusack?
No, and I know you're talking about.
Billy Crystal played a publicist to a pain in the butt Hollywood couple.
Oh, best portrayal of a publicist is on Seinfeld. The mom from that 70s show. Remember, she played Seinfeld's publicist.
Oh, she was?
Yeah. She tried to get the airline pilot kicked out of Jerry's show, and he ended up getting him kicked off with a... I think it's the one where Kramer's at JFK or LaGuardia. He's making bets on arrivals, and he ends up using the Son of Sam mailbag as collateral.
Right.
great episode. But the mom from that 70s show played Jerry's publicist.
Kitty.
Yeah.
Who was also in Friends.
What was she on Friends?
She played Phoebe's half-brother, Giovanni Ribisi, played his girlfriend or wife.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a weird, like, mismatched couple.
That's odd.
And I think they were... They got her to be a surrogate for them.
Okay.
When Lisa Kudrow got pregnant in real life, I think that's how they handled it.
We have watched a lot of TV.
All right. I'm going to call this one... we were actually right, and this lady was nice at a dinner party. How's that for a subject line?
Okay.
Hey, guys. I have a little story. I was at a small dinner party where the host was making his own sea salt. The topic about... It's one of those dinner parties. The topic of kosher salt came up, so I dropped a fact from your salt episode that kosher salt is actually just salt used for drawing blood out of meat to make it kosher, not salt blessed by a rabbi. And a fellow guest disagreed, to which I responded, I'm quite sure about this. The host then said, raise your hand if you're Jewish. And the guy that disputed me raised his hand, felt rather embarrassed, while he explained to me what kosher means and that salt also goes through the same kosher process, though he never explained how. I backed down and didn't try to defend the fact that I just told. It's not that I doubted you guys, though I jokingly said I'd write an email to complain, but it's because I feel it's disrespectful to correct someone on their own heritage. Good move.
Yeah.
I also didn't want to start any petty debate with someone at someone else's dinner party. Also a good move. So I decided to take in the embarrassment while he was explaining what kosher is, at the same time eating his plate of pasta with chorizo. Hope you find this amusing. Please keep up the good work. If you read it on the show, please give a shout out to my friend Amber, who introduced me to the show. And that is from Chloe Sisse.
So wait a minute, Chuck. Were we right and the guy was wrong?
We were right. The Jewish guy was wrong. Because I looked it up today just to be sure.
Yeah.
And apparently kosher salt is kosher because, in fact, they said it should be called koshering salt.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's used to make things kosher. It is not the salt itself that's kosher.
It would have kept Chloe out of that kind of situation. Chloe, it sounds like you have a lot of tact and dignity.
Yes.
And congratulations
it sounds,
on that.
It sounds like, yeah, the guy's a bit of a blowhard.
I'm not ruining the dinner party.
So that is from Chloe in Sydney, Australia.
Thank you. If you want to get in touch with us, we want to hear about all of your misadventures out there based on stuff you should know. You can tweet to us at SYSK Podcast. You can join us on Facebook.com/StuffYouShouldKnow. You can send us an email to StuffPodcast@HowStuffWorks.com. And as always, join us at our home on the web, StuffYouShouldKnow.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Are you thirsty? Well, Richard's rainwater is caught clean before it even hits the ground. Rain is naturally pure, so there's no need for harsh chemicals or additives. Richard's rainwater contains no chlorine, no forever chemicals, no microplastics, no nothing. Enjoy the smooth, clean taste of still rainwater or the cold pressured bubbles of sparkling rainwater. Just visit richardsrainwater.com to find a retailer near you. That's richardsrainwater.com. And for a coupon, text STUFF to 251-292-8887 and receive $2 off a 12-pack case of Richard's rainwater.
Childproofing people's homes is hard. But Duracell is making it just a bit simpler. Not only are they committed to educating parents, caregivers, and medical professionals about the importance of battery safety, they make the only lithium coin batteries with a non-toxic bitter coating to help discourage children from swallowing them. Duracell even features child-secure packaging designed to avoid accidental opening. Learn more at Duracell.com/power safely. Available on 2032, 2025, and 2016 sizes.